is not the kind of message that you can give to anyone just because you think they're nice people. We're told to tell no man. Tell no man these things ye have seen today. We're told that there is milk for the babes and meat for those who are ready for it. And this is not the milk. This is the meat. And if you give it to those who are not ready for it, you will hurt them. And they will trample upon that which you give them. And you will spoil their demonstration. And therefore, very carefully remember that that which is given to you today is in recognition of your attainment spiritually. You can share it only with those of a spiritual consciousness who are prepared. Any other attempt to give this to the curious, to those who are on the way but not ready, is a violation of divine law. Now, the chapter New Horizon was written in a very strange way. It wasn't written by a man. It was written by the Spirit of God. And because it was written by the Spirit of God, it says things that are strange to a human ear and to a human eye. Things that are perhaps foolishness to a human brain. And even though we have already prepared to a degree for the message of the New Horizon, there is still something else we must clear away before we can listen with the inner self, with the inner soul. And that's something we must clear away is in this room. It is called me. That me is the fellow who does not belong here. That me is the personal self in each of us. That me dwells within a human consciousness with a human body. And it says, what am I going to get out of this? That me says, I want better health, more abundance. That me says, I want a better life, more comforts. That me is trying to say, God, you be my servant. I'll tell you what I want. That me we have carried around too long. You may awake with a shock to discover that for 50-odd years you have carried around a me who wants to make God your servant. A me who, by the very nature of existence, is denying all that God is. And so that me we're going to send home right now. Within each of us, for this lesson, I ask you to remove me. For there's no place in this room for me today. You know the me we're speaking of. That me who sees the world that God did not make. That me who knows disease and fear and limitation. That me who knows hate. That me who knows bigotry. That me who knows prejudice. That me who looks out on the world and pronounces it not perfect, whereas the Father looks out upon his universe and pronounces it perfect. That me who says I don't have enough. That me who says I am sick. That me who brings to today all of the yesterdays of doubt, concern, and fear. That me does not exist. That me is a figment of our imagination. That me was never made by God. Only the Spirit of God can be here, for only the Spirit of God exists. Let us dwell in that for a moment, for we must cleanse the temple that it may be inhabited only by the truth of the Father. When you can say, there is no me here, only the child of God, you're ready for the new horizon. Now we're going to look at Isaiah, because he has given us a great clue about the nature of reality, about the nature of truth, about the nature of God. And this truth has passed by the world. The world has passed by it. Today is a day when we face truth. The me that you have vanished and banished from yourself is the me that will not face the truth that you're about to face. We can't have a me who cannot face this truth, and so we have dismissed the false human mind. We are standing on the brink of truth, in the presence of truth, in the presence of the Father. And now we look at Isaiah's statement in a new light, a light that the me mind would not recognize, but the child of God, which we are, will recognize it. Isaiah 25. Verse 22. No, it's 45. Verse 22. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God. There is none else. There is none else. Salvation is looking to God, for there is none else. Now, this has been falsely construed by the religions of the world. It has been falsely construed by the me mind of man. It has been construed to mean that God is the supreme being. And that is not true. There is none else means there is none but God. It doesn't mean that there is only God and no other God. It means there is God and no human being. God alone exists, and that which is not God does not exist. This is the fact that me will not face, but it is the fact that the Son of God knows to be true. There is only God, and beside God there is no life and no existence. You are being told that there is a spiritual universe and there is no other. God is spirit, and because God is all is spirit. God is spirit, and because there is none else, there is nothing but spirit. And because there is nothing but spirit, there is no physical human being. That is the meaning of Isaiah's statement. There is no mortal being on this earth. God is not a mortal being. God is immortal. And therefore, because there is none else, only immortal being exists. And so I'm very happy that me has left the room, that we can dwell with I, the Spirit of God, which recognizes itself. There is only the life of God, and therefore to be the child of God, you must recognize that the life of God is your life. You have no life apart from divine life. But the life we are living in a mortal body is not the life of God. And therefore, because only the life of God is my life, the life that I seem to be living in a mortal body is not my life. It is my false sense of my life. And because today we are facing the facts, we may learn to face the fact that every day before this one, that I have lived as a mortal being in a mortal body represents my false sense of life. I never lived those days. I never lived a moment of them. They represent the old horizon, the me that God did not create. For God never created anything that is mortal. God never created anything that can die. God never created anything that can be diseased. God never created anything that can be sick. God never created anything that could hate. God never created anything that can lie. God never created anything but perfection itself. And that which was not created by God has no existence. I'm going to ask you a very important question, one that will solve many of your problems. Did God make the human brain? Anyone with any medical background knows that there are probably 500 diseases that can attack the human brain. We all know about brain tumor. Can you imagine a creation of God that is subject to a tumor? We all know that you can go up to a man and put a bullet through his brain. Can you imagine God creating a brain that you could snuff out of life with a bullet? Can you imagine a brain that could forget if God had created that brain? Or a brain that could make mistakes? Or a brain that could tell your hand to shoot, or to slap, or to punch, or to fight? If God created that brain, could you imagine God creating a brain that can die, that can suffer, that can inflict destruction on others and upon itself? Do you see how this little 3-ounce box called a brain, which is our contact with this world, which is the way we know things, the way we direct our lives, which dies itself? Can you see that this is not a perfect creation of God? Can you see the falseness, the counterfeit nature of the human brain? Now ask yourself, if a brain, which is in every man, woman, and child on this earth, can be diseased, can die, can tell nations to go to war and kill, are you willing to call it a divine creation? And if it is not a divine creation, it must be an imitation. It must be a counterfeit. Now, God is spirit, and beside me there is none else. The brain is material substance. God did not create matter. Spirit never becomes anything but itself. Spirit is always spirit. When you finally conclude that God did not make the human brain, which governs the destiny of every man on earth, you will see why we have to have a new horizon and step away from the old. The human brain is hypnotized. Not your brain and someone else's is free. Every human brain is hypnotized. From the President of the United States to the King of England, to the Prime Ministers of the world, to the dictators, to those who rule and those who are ruled. The counterfeit brain rests in the skull of every man, woman, and child on earth. Whether they wear the garb of the ministry or of science or of education or philosophy, whether they are a surgeon or whether they are a psychiatrist, whether they are a psychologist, whether they are an educator, whether they are a politician, whoever they are and wherever they are, in them dwells a brain not made by God, a material brain. And that material brain runs this world. And therefore this world, which is governed by the material brains of men, the counterfeit brain, must also be a counterfeit world. A counterfeit brain cannot have a real experience. It can only have a counterfeit experience. A counterfeit brain can never know reality. A counterfeit brain can never know truth. A counterfeit brain can never know God. And when we use this counterfeit brain to try to find the kingdom of heaven on earth, to find God, to find reality, to find truth, to find all that is promised us in the Bible, we are using a counterfeit brain which cannot break out of its own shell into reality. And therefore we remain in a counterfeit world. And so the master must say to us, don't you realize that living in your counterfeit brain, you're living in a counterfeit world? Don't you realize that my kingdom is not of this world? Your old horizon is this world. Your new horizon is my kingdom. My kingdom is visible only to the Christ mind. My kingdom has no disease. My kingdom has no death. My kingdom has no pain or suffering. And where is it? Well, you're walking in it, but the counterfeit brain cannot experience it. The counterfeit brain takes the infinite and cuts it up into its little brain into small pieces. And now it looks out and sees a limited version of what is. The counterfeit brain builds every experience into a counterfeit experience. It builds us a counterfeit life. Now remember, this is fact-facing day. And so if we are shocked by fact, it is because we must be at one time or another. There is a place where it is necessary to be confronted by thoughts, ideas that take this counterfeit brain and even alarm it. Because above all, until we outgrow the counterfeit brain which has guided our lives and the lives of those around us throughout the world, we are entombed in a body that God did not create. We are entombed in a mind that God did not create, and in a life that God neither created nor sustains nor blesses. We are entombed in a counterfeit life. Now there is a real life. There is a real existence. There is a real child of God. There is a real heaven. There is a real paradise. The evils that we know are only known by this counterfeit brain. And when you use this counterfeit brain to understand those evils, you're wasting time. It has no desire to understand those evils. The counterfeit brain wants its counterfeit existence because it knows no other. But my kingdom is one dimension away. All the evils that you will ever know, every problem you will ever know, every problem you have ever faced and will face exists only in the third dimension of consciousness. These problems cannot leave the third dimension of consciousness. They exist only in the false counterfeit brain. They cannot be existent outside of it. When you are not living in the third dimension of consciousness, the problems of this world do not touch your life. When you are living in the fourth dimension of consciousness, you can look at the bomb. You can walk untouched through every evil. You can look at disease and know that it has no power over you. Why? Because when you're in the fourth dimension of consciousness, you're in God's universe. You're the child of God. You're the substance of God. You're the mind of God. You're the life of God. You're the immortality of God. And the powers of this world, which fool only the counterfeit brain, do not fool the Christ mind. Now, in our facing the facts of our own existence, we must look at our own human brain and cross it out. God is all. There is nothing else, but you do not see God. Look wherever you wish, you will not see God. God is invisible to the human eye. But the human eye is visible. And therefore, the human eye, which is a material substance, which sees the visible world, is seeing unreality. It is not seeing God. It is seeing what? If God is all and the human eye is not seeing God, what is the human eye seeing? If it isn't seeing God, it's seeing nothing. But it sees people. It sees oceans and trees. It sees the sky. It sees the earth. But is God the earth? Is God a person? Is God an ocean? Is God a tree? The human eye is seeing images in mind. It is seeing this world, which is not my Father's kingdom. You see, God did not make the human eye. That's why it can be blind. And that's why even when it sees, it is blind. God did not make the human heart. That's why it dies. That's why it has heart attacks. Because that which God makes, God protects. God did not make the human lungs or the human liver. And finally, you see that God did not make the human body. That is why the human body dies. That is why the human body is buried. The human body is not God's creation. And you have been living in one and saying that you were the child of God. You have been living in one and asking for God's protection. But you see, that is me, and God can never enter me. You remember the great saying of Jesus, I am the light. I am the Christ, in other words. I, Jesus, that you see in a human form, I am the Christ. The Spirit of God, the substance of God, the life of God. And so when he said, I am the light, he was saying, I am the Christ, the Spirit, the substance, the life of God. And when he said, ye are the light, He was saying, you too are the Christ. You are the Spirit of God. You are the substance of God. You are the life of God. But Paul told us that in our counterfeit brain, we can never know who we are. And so he said, be transformed by the renewing of the mind. Have ye that mind that was in Christ Jesus, for only that mind can tell you who you are. Then you will know you have a body, which is the temple of the living God. Not a mortal body, not a physical body, but a body of spirit. A temple not made with hands. And then Jesus again, to be sure you knew that you are not physical being, mortal being, told you to call no man your father upon this earth. So that you would know you are not physical being. Call no man your father upon this earth, for one is your father, which is in heaven. And if God is your father, then the substance of God is your substance. And that is why it had to be revealed that this body, this physical form, is not God's creation. We have a spiritual body, and through the counterfeit brain, we have not lived consciously in the spiritual body. As you become conscious of the fact that you can never really live in a physical body, but only think you do, the statement that you must be absent from the body and present with the Lord begins to have a new meaning for you. To be absent from the body is to realize that it is only a product of the imitation mind. When the imitation thought dies, the imitation body dies. And we are told that we were not born of woman. We are told that we were not the child of a human father or a human mother. We are told that we are the child of God. And therefore, we are being told that the day of human birth is as false as the day of human death. We are being told that the Spirit of God, the life of God, is eternal in every direction, forward and backwards. And that we are that life, and that birth is an activity of the counterfeit brain. That death is an activity of the counterfeit brain. And that the life between the cradle and the grave is an activity of the counterfeit brain. We have been looking at the infinite God and drawing little boundaries with our counterfeit mind and saying, in between there I am. But in between there I am not. I, the Son, and the Father are one. Eternally one. And therefore, to step out of the third dimension of consciousness into truth, into reality, you make an important step. You accept God's word. And God says you are his child. God says you are his spirit, his life, that you are one with him. And you know that God will never let that oneness end. For I am with thee always, and thou art ever with me. Now, as we remember that in our human form, we are denying all that God tells us. We are denying the teaching of Jesus Christ. We are denying because we insist on living in this world, in this form, in this sense of life. And the great liberating teaching is that our sense of life, which has brought us much sorrow as well as happiness, much sickness as well as health, much poverty as well as abundance, these are the opposites which are not created by God. God did not create matter. And now in our spiritual reality we know something that we have never really understood. We do not need material things. We do not need food. We do not need clothing. We do not need shelter. We do not need money. Why? Because these are material things. Why do we not need them? Because they do not exist. Matter has no existence. This is a spiritual universe. Now, how can you need matter if only spirit exists? Do you see then the need for matter is the hypnotism? You mean we don't need food? Yes, that's what I mean. Well, how will we survive? Your father is the only source. And the invisible spirit of God appears as your food. You call it food, but it isn't. It's the invisible spirit of God meeting your need. You call it money, but it isn't. It's the invisible spirit of God appearing to your counterfeit brain as money. You call it clothing and shelter, but it isn't. It's the invisible spirit of God appearing as your need fulfilled. And so it was that the Christ consciousness of Jesus could look at those who were hungry, and his consciousness of his own spiritual self and theirs appeared as manna from the sky. Ask yourself an important question. If God did not create matter, could Jesus actually produce material bread for the multitudes? If God did not create matter, could Jesus really heal a cripple? If God did not create matter, could Jesus really walk upon water? If God did not create matter, could Jesus perform material healings? And you discover the counterfeit brain thinks so, but what he did was far greater. He revealed what Buddha hadn't revealed. Buddha revealed that this world is unreal. And he was right. In other words, Buddha discovered unreality. But Jesus came along and discovered reality. He said, "Yes, Buddha, you're perfectly right. This world is unreal. And now watch, behind it, above it, all around us, is the invisible world of reality of my Father. And look again in it. Who's dying there? Who's sick there? Who's limited there? The only separation you and I have had from this invisible world of perfection is our counterfeit brain. Beyond the sense mind is the kingdom of God on earth now. Beyond the eye that God did not make, which looks out and does not see heaven, beyond the ear which God did not make, which cannot hear heaven, or beyond the fingers which God did not make, which cannot touch heaven, heaven is. And so you must find faculties that can enter the kingdom of God. Faculties that can bring forth the kingdom of God into experience, and they cannot be your five senses. Only your soul looks into the realm of God. And so the Christ mind, the mind which is not an imitation counterfeit brain, which is not a material thing, The Christ mind is the mind of God. Now take the word I, instead of the me which we crucified, and you will find that I have overcome this world. I, in the midst of you, am mighty. I have overcome me. When I in you overcomes me in you, you have overcome this world. When the I of you is lifted above the me of you, you are in the Christ mind, the realm of the soul. When the I of you is higher than the me of you, you are absent from the physical body and present in your spiritual body with the Lord. I am the way. I am the resurrection. I am the life. I in the midst of you. Not up there behind the sky, but I in the midst of you am the way. I am spirit. I and the Father are one and the same. Be still and know that I, in the midst of thee, am God. And then this I says, Son, all that I have is thine. There is nothing withheld from you. Your counterfeit brain has fooled you into thinking that you were lacking, that you were sick, that you were impoverished, that you were hurting. You've never been sick. Never. Not a single day. When you say you're sick, you're simply living in the third dimension instead of in the fourth. When you're living in the fourth, you know no sickness because you only know that which is real. And there is no sickness in our Father's kingdom. When you say you're poor, it's because you're living in the third dimension of consciousness. When you say my child died, or my husband died, or my sister died, it's because you're living in the third dimension of consciousness. Every evil and error in this world, every imperfection in this world, is a false experience in the third dimension of consciousness. And we are now being called, all of us, as we have ever been called for thousands of years, to come through the veil of the flesh, to see the unreality of the world of matter created by the counterfeit brain of man. Why else would we be told not to sow after the flesh, but sow to the Spirit? Why are we told not to lay up treasures on this earth? Because this earth is material. This earth is our false perception of heaven. But rather lay up your treasures in heaven. In other words, see through the veil of matter. You won't do it with a counterfeit brain, so disown it. There cannot be two minds. If God is all, there is only divine mind. And therefore the counterfeit human brain, which must die, is not mine. The counterfeit human body which must die is not mine. Spirit, light, is the substance of God, and there is no other substance. There is none else. And therefore I am that spirit, that substance, that light. Is God older today than yesterday? Will God be a day older tomorrow? But if I am the Spirit, if God is Spirit and does not age, then I am Spirit and I do not age. And so all of this illusion of a child born that aged into an adult is the denial of spiritual reality. It's the denial of my spiritual self. It's the Adam dream. It's the dream of mortality. Now, as the dream becomes clearer to us, we realize that we are being told by the Master that the only reality is the kingdom of God, that this world is not that kingdom, and therefore this world is not reality. And so I can look out at everything in this world knowing it is not real. Neither the good nor the bad, neither the war nor the peace, neither the health nor the lack of it. Nothing material is of God. Nothing of this world is of God. And it makes no difference how important or unimportant we have been, whether we appear to be saint or sinner. Nothing physical, material, structural, mortal is under the law of God. We've been living in a world that God did not create, and trying to bring God into it instead of trying to rise above it, instead of transcending human belief, human brains, human conditions, which all deny God's presence, we have tried to say, God, do my will. Improve my material selfhood. Improve my mortality. Give me more of this and more of that. And always asking for the material thing that God neither made nor knows anything about. There are not two worlds. There is only the world of God's creation. And the world that God did not create does not exist. It is a dream. Who among us would dare to think that imperfection could exist in God's world? You see, we have not thought it through. We have been incorrectly taught. We have lived on false authorities. And we have developed many false beliefs, all of them a blasphemy about God. We have been conditioned. We have been brainwashed. We have been hypnotized by a mind that is not the mind of God, and which itself has no real existence. All of the evils exist only in this collective, universal mind of man. Whenever you step out of this universal mind, you find evil has no power over you. It doesn't matter where you are in this world. You could be in a country that is completely impoverished. If you had the Spirit of God realized as your own self, you would take that country out of poverty. If you lived in the midst of a war-torn area, if you had the Spirit of God in yourself, you would take that country out of its war. Wherever the Spirit of Jesus appeared, what happened? The invisible eye, the Spirit of God, shined through. Why? Because of something that is very hard for our conditioned minds to understand. Because there is God and none else, we have been taught truly that there is no God and someone else or anyone else or anything else. There is no God and. There is only God. But if there is no God and God is all, then how can there be God and a child? How can there be God and a man? God and a woman? Do you see what Jesus accomplished? Do you see what he really accomplished? He accomplished something that no church would dare tell the world, even if they understood it. But that's one of these days when we must talk about it. There was no God and Jesus. Why? Because there is no God and. And that's why Jesus became the Christ, realized. He knew there was no God and Jesus. Oh, no, don't call me Jesus. I and the Father are one. I am not born of woman. I call no man on earth my father. Thou seest Jesus, thou seest the Father that sent him. Do you see the new truth that he brought into this world? He overcame the belief in a personal self. He got rid of the me that you and I tried to get rid of at the beginning of this little meeting. He got rid of me. And that's why Christ walked the earth where the world saw Jesus. He got rid of the personal sense of me. He got rid of the mortal self. He got rid of the physical self. He got rid of the man who is separated from God because he thinks he's made of another substance and has another life. And that's the crucifixion of Jesus. The release from personal selfhood. The release from a personal brain. The release from personal body, the willingness to die to me. And then he taught, you too must be reborn. Do you see that we as human beings in the flesh are still in the womb of creation? This is the womb. We haven't been born yet. When we come out of me, when me dies and I is born, we are reborn of the Spirit. We begin our new horizon. We see his universe instead of the world of our limited human minds. We see his universe where only harmony exists. We see with the Christ mind, the reborn mind, and we see what is instead of what we have imagined to be. We walk through the visions of this false mind. And we see his love, his peace, his truth, his universe, his creation, his being. We see God face to face. There is no God and me. There is no God and you. There never has been. And only when you and me are dead does our real self come into the experience of God being. Jesus said many strange things for this world. One of his disciples, before following him off, said, do you mind if I first go and bury my father? What did he say to him? No, don't waste your time. Let the dead bury the dead. Follow me. Was that heartless, or was it a revelation of great truth? What dead? Those who are dead only because they will not accept themselves to be alive. There is no life in a physical form. There is no life between the cradle and the grave. That isn't life. That's the sleep, the dream. Awake, thou that sleepest. Christ will give thee light. And so there must be a realization that he didn't walk this earth just so four gospels could be written about him. He walked this earth as the living embodiment of truth. Truth, which is living in each of us, waiting to be released. You are standing in the midst of life. And through your counterfeit brain, you see birth and death. Through your Christ mind, you will see life eternal. You are standing in the midst of perfection. Through your counterfeit human brain, you will see imperfections. Through your Christ mind, you will see only that which is eternally perfect. so we rest, sowing to our own spirit, sowing to the spirit of our neighbor, living in the two commandments. Our eyes opened, no longer blind, our ears no longer deaf to the words of truth. Henceforth know we no man after the flesh. God is no respecter of persons. Cease ye from man whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he to be accounted for? There is no physical man. There is no man, there is no woman. There is only the Spirit of God, there is none else. And this Spirit of God is everywhere. It is where you have thought yourself to be. It is where you have thought your child to be. It is where you have thought your parents to be. It is where you have thought your neighbors to be. Only the Spirit of God is here. It has never gone away. It never will go away. It will always be here, and it will always be the only life there is. Reality will remain reality. God will remain God. Spirit will remain spirit. Christ will remain Christ, and there is no other. Include yourself in the real universe, or else you are what Jesus said among the dead, the sleeping, the dreamer. Those who live in the old horizon, limited by the five senses, which look out on a world of evils that God did not create. When we accept the material universe as the false mental creation that we all entertain about the perfect spiritual reality that is God, then we will not try to get more matter or even to improve our material conditions, but rather we will honor the Spirit with our heart and our mind and our soul and our body. And we will honor the spirit of our neighbor. And in so doing, we will love God supremely. We will be declaring that I accept God's word that I am his spirit. And therefore, I and the Father are one. This is a turning point from the old to the new. This is the first glimpse of heaven on earth. It is different than any other teaching. But your heart may tell you it is the teaching of God. And we are told that whoever comes into this realization that I am the Spirit of God automatically comes into the protection, the security, the fullness of God's presence. For where the Spirit of the Father is realized, there is the Spirit of God functioning. And when you have reached the realization that you are the Spirit of God, you will not go back to a counterfeit brain and try to run your life from that level. Instead, you will have died to the false and have been reborn to the true. You will rest and abide in the Spirit of God, knowing that the Spirit of God knoweth my needs. The Spirit of God provideth those needs. The Spirit of God forms itself into those needs made manifest. The Spirit of God is the Word that becomes flesh. We begin to accept the Spirit of God everywhere, with one great addition to what we may have thought. The Spirit of God is everywhere but there is no spirit and. No, that is not a man, that is the Spirit of God. That is not a child, that is the Spirit of God. That is not a woman, that is the Spirit of God. There is no spirit and something else. There is only spirit. That is loving your neighbor. And honoring God supremely includes loving the spirit of yourself, for that is all there is of you. And that spirit is timeless and deathless and birthless and diseaseless. Always that spirit is the one the Father spoke to when he said, "Son, all that I have is thine." All that spirit has is yours because you are spirit. And in the acceptance of this, or even the attempt to accept it, you're making a great turn. And you will look out not upon a limited universe. For the limited universe was yesterday, in the old consciousness, in the old man. But we have put off the old man. We are glimpsing the new consciousness that looks out at an unlimited universe, at the universe of God, the universe which did not begin 500 years or 5,000 years ago, the universe which has not changed since man discovered it, the universe which is perfect forever, which is inhabited by the spiritual children of God. And we are beginning to look past the images of the false mind and seeing that God is here now. There is an invisible spiritual universe, and it is all there is. And I am in it, for I am the Spirit which dwelleth in the spiritual universe. We're just beginning to catch that glimpse of the perfect reality of God. And living in it, we find the meaning of the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of God is at hand. That's the real good news, isn't it? The good tidings are not that we're going somewhere to a promised land, but it is here. Beyond the range of our five senses, the five material senses which are not the creation of God. We're releasing those soul faculties now, and we're willing to let the vision of spirit define and reveal itself to us as we become beholders. We are going to be a different kind of witness. Not a witness with a human eye, but a witness who lets God run his own universe.